About a week and a half ago or so, I got to tell you a quick story. There's a group of us, seven us men, were going down to the States. And so we got caught at, going through the American customs. And this very official looking guy looks at us and he says, "All right, all of you come with me." So I went, "Oh." So he pulled us into a room to one side, made everyone pull out their passports, and he's going through the passports. He takes my passport, hands everybody else's passport back, but he doesn't hand my passport back. I'm going, "Oh." You see, a funny story, about 6 years ago, or whenever it was when I got my Nexus, which gives you quicker access to the States, they wouldn't give it to me because on my record is smuggling drugs into America. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, "What? Are you kidding me?" They said, "No, we have you down as denied access to the United States of America because of drugs." There's no way that I, and so it took months to straighten my record out. And so now I'm going down with these seven guys. We got lots of plans and things are going on. And so he looks at everybody and my stomach is starting to sink. I'm thinking, all our plans are going to get wrecked here. He says, "The rest of you gentlemen may leave. Close the door behind you. You," he points to me, "stay." Ugh. They all leave, the door closes, and I'm looking, going, "Okay, God, give me some wisdom here." And he goes, once the door closes, he looks at me and goes, "Man, I love Springs Church." I think the relief was written all over my face. And I said, "Oh," he says, "You don't remember me?" I said, "Well, I've seen you a couple of times," and I remembered this guy a little bit. He says, "Well, we weren't in Winnipeg when we were going through customs." He said, "We used to live in Winnipeg. My wife and I attended Springs Church, and a whole bunch of the customs officers came with us," he said, "and we just loved it, but you've really wrecked it for me because we can't find a church now as you set the bar so high." And so he just started talking with me, left the other six out in the hallway all wondering what, you know, they don't know what's going on with me and this guy. We talked church, we talked family, we talked about driving up with his family and, you know, and visiting with us. And he goes, "Oh, I guess I better let you go. They're all going to be wondering what's going on out there." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I guess so." So we laugh. He opens the door and he goes back to his official status and he goes, "Well, I guess I won't have to use the rubber gloves after all." Oh, God is good. Well, today I want to talk about the time we've got. I want to talk to you about managing yourself. Managing yourself. Jesus and the story of Christmas is beautiful. It's about the Son of God becoming the Son of Man. And there's a whole teaching here as to why Jesus had to come to the earth as a human. And before I get into that, I want you to, every time I speak a message, probably a third of the time is trying to qualify the message a little bit so people don't take it out of context. Because people are famous. "Well, you said..." I said, "No, I didn't say that." And so a lot of times when you teach the principles of God's Word, we're not coming against people. We're raising up the principles of God's Word so we can all look at it and then apply it as to how it applies in our lives and use it in our lives. But if every time you hear a message, it just hurts you and you find a place to disagree and you find an exception that you want to talk about, then no one's ever going to be able to preach to you. So take this in context, apply it to your life with wisdom. But the world, you'll notice, and when I use the word world, I mean this fallen world, this fallen culture wants you to believe you are not in control. They want you to believe that your fate has already been fixed. They want you to believe that you can do nothing about your circumstance. Everything's a disease. Everything, even our court system is letting people off for all sorts of horrible things that people do. And then they'll just say, "Well, based on how they were raised, we can't really punish this person. Let's just give them a free pass. We live in a world where more and more and more psychologists are feeling like if you want someone to be healthy, just take all responsibility for anything in their life away from them and blame their mother. I'm just teasing. We have lots of great counselors here and doctors. But the world as a whole, and what it's doing is it's giving mankind a sense of hopelessness. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing that can change anything in my world. This is just the way things are. This is just who I am. I can't help addictions. I can't help my attitude. I can't help my emotions. This is just the way things are. And you've got to be very careful because the Bible agrees with none of that. The Bible's very unique. The Bible teaches us that you and I are free will beings. That not only do we make our own choices in life, but that we have access to all that we need to begin to change our lives. So much of Christianity, as you travel and if you watch or you listen to other pastors, a ton of Christianity is how to handle storms. And I like that. All of us are going to have storms in our lives. And so how do you handle storms? But a lot of times we forget that we can be building our lives in storms, even during a storm. We should be building our lives in between storms that seem to blow. And if we don't believe this, then our belief... I've got some kind of an echo that just comes at me. I don't know if it's through monitors or what it is. Then we begin to believe that we're just a leaf blowing in the wind. I'm just another person walking through this planet and I just can't control anything that happens to me, you know, from whatever to whatever. And I want to dive into this and show you a few principles in God's Word that you need to just learn them, apply them, and recognize there are some things that you can't control. Yes, you're 6'5". We can't shrink you. Okay, you can't drive a Toyota. Okay, whatever. But then there are many things in life that we can change. And so we need to be aware of what to do. You are not a person caught with fate. You are a free will being. Many of us are living out our family's beliefs. Many of us are living out the culture that we were raised in. If you were raised in certain countries, there'll be a certain way of thinking that goes with it. If you were raised on the other side of the tracks, there's a poverty thinking that goes with it. If you were raised with parents who were always, irritable, just then you've never known peace. Your stomach's always in a knot. How we were raised does have an effect on us. But the Bible teaches us that you are a free will being, that you can determine your future, you and God. You are not just a leaf blowing in the wind where fate, you know, everyone reads Ecclesiastes and thinks that there's a time to die, a time to be born, there's a time to build, a time to tear down, but that's not what it's teaching. It's not teaching fate. It's just saying recognize the periods in your life. There are times to build. There's time to take stock of what you've built. Maybe remove some stuff. Get rid of some stuff. There's times, if you're here, if you had a time to be born, and there's going to be a time that you're going to die. It's not a fixed time that you can't control. Because if that's the case, then why does Proverbs say you can lengthen your life by just being obedient to your parents? It's not fixed. And to believe that leaves you feeling like I'm out of control. And this out of control feeling is what is feeding so much of the stress and the depression and the things in our world that leave us just kind of like, well, you know, I just hoping and praying that 2020 is going to be a good year. I never worry about I'm hoping life does me good. Life doesn't do you good. We have to understand that if you don't have this positive, determination of growing, learning, controlling yourself, managing yourself, that life will, just by default. You know, any fish can float downstream. You just float with the current. But it takes a stronger fish to decide, I'm going upstream. And in this fallen world, before we get to heaven, if you just chill out and do nothing, the Bible teaches us all through Proverbs, little sleep, little folding of the hands. Proverbs will, poverty will come at you like an armed man. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. There's tons of teachings in the Word that show us that our positive, determined applying His Word to our life and believing that I'm not a pawn just caught in the game of chess by the gods, you know, over that, you start believing that, then you are going to get unhappy quick. You are going to literally allow all that goes on around you rather than rising up. And the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Or it's what you believe. If you believe there's nothing you can do, you give up in every quarter. But to recognize there is so much you can do. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 to 20, is an astounding verse in the Bible. It says, today, this is the word, today I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses. I'm offering you life or death, blessings or curses. Now, choose life, in case you didn't know the answer here. Then you and your children may live. To choose life is to love the Lord your God. Obey Him. Listen to His voice. Stay close. Cling to Him. He is your life. He will let you live many years in the land He promised, swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, we have to deal with this verse. See, I don't read the Word of God and go, well, I don't believe that verse, I don't agree with that verse, because it doesn't fit my worldview. That's the problem with people. They say things like, well, I'm following Jesus. I don't believe this verse, that verse, but no. If the Word of God is true, then it is literally telling us that as we live our lives, that this world has life, this world has death. There are things you can do that bring death to relationships. There's things you can do to bring death to your finances. There's things you can do to bring destruction to your physical body. There's things you can do to bring destruction to your children. There's things you can do to bring life to your children. We just need to understand that there are choices that we make every day. There are beliefs that we have that are hurting us. And we need to correct those beliefs according to God's Word. I just want you to get this one thought into your mind as I go through the message today, that there is so much control that's been handed to you. You get to choose and pick so many decisions, what you believe. You get to decide what you're going to do. Every time a situation arises, you get to decide, am I going to give in to this or am I going to rise up? Am I going to be hurt and offended the rest of my life, or am I going to forgive and move on from what has happened? There are so many decisions that you're making. And every time you come to a decision, I hope this word echoes in your mind. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life in the middle of that argument. Choose life in the middle of a big loss so you don't wreck the rest of your life just staying in that loss. Choose life when it comes to dealing with your finances. Choose life when it comes to arguing with your spouse. Choose life when it comes to raising your kids. It is saying here that the choices that we make, the things that we do, not only affect our lives and move us in the direction of life, but it affects our generations, which is what the word seed means in the King James Bible. Choose life. There's an interesting verse in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family. Go to the land I'll show you. Canaan, the promised land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'm going to make you famous, or I'm going to make your name great. And so that you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who try to harm you. And all the families on this earth are going to be blessed through you. All of these promises made to Abraham, I mean, all of the Jewish nation, they know this is talking about them. But did you know that according to Galatians chapter 3, when you give your life to Christ, all the blessings of Abraham come upon you as a non-Jew. They're all yours. So when you find these incredible blessings, that the blessing is on your family, the blessing is on you. If the people rise against you, God stands with you. If a storm's brewing, God's with you. He's not in a storm, he's with you. And when you begin to believe that Abraham and all of those blessings, because of Jesus, they're mine, you begin to develop this thinking. The favor of God is on my life. The favor of God is on my marriage. The favor of God is on my kids. The favor of God's on my business. The favor of God is on my health. The favor of God is on what I put my hands to. And you begin to believe, because Murphy has written his own Bible. It's called Murphy's Law. And Murphy's Law is every negative belief that seems to get into our society that says, if anything could go wrong, it will go wrong. Yeah, things are going good, so the other shoe's got to drop sometime. Or things are going so good, your chickens will be coming home to roost soon. We have all of these beliefs that short circuit the favor, the blessing of God in our lives. So we've got to choose. There are decisions that we have to make. If you do not live your life with a positive determination, default will always take you down. But the default button on every area of your life, it is going to take you into things that are unhappy. You know, just don't. If you don't make positive changes to your business, someone else is going to come along and outdo you. If you don't make positive changes to your marriage is going to plateau and then end up going down. If you don't positively raise your kids with God's word, there is just so much in the word of God that is saying, you have choices, you have choices, you have choices, you got choices. Don't just give in to everything. Now, someone will ask you, well, you don't know what I've gone through. I had no choice. I get it. I said, you'll have to apply these principles yourself. You can't control some things, like the color of your skin, the country you were born in, the parents you were born to, the things that happened to you when you couldn't even control yourself as a child, and someone should have been protecting you. Yes, 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 yes. Don't take this as a sweeping statement that everybody should be in complete control of everything in their life. That's not going to happen on this planet. But as you walk this, you'd better have these guiding principles that you're not just a pawn in the great chess game of life. It's not the devil and God fighting over you, making decisions, but you have been given the freedom of choice. You are a free will being, and so much of your life, you have to choose life in the midst of what goes on, the heartache, the hurt. Don't just live your life going through a storm, waiting for the next one. What are you building on purpose? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19 freaks people out, especially the Calvinists. It says, I'll give you, this is Jesus talking, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what's already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose and declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm going to give you keys. What do keys do? They open doors. What kind of keys would God give you? Here's a door to hell. Here's a door to real unhappiness. No. Here's a door to incredible sickness and defeat. No. His keys are going to be to help you and to assist you. And he's saying, I'm going to give you the keys. Now, this goes against most of the sovereignty teaching that's out there, that you really can't do anything. God's going to do what God wants to do. God's in complete control. There is no verse in the Bible that says God's in complete control of your life. Okay? He's not even the God of this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan's a God of this world. We live in a fallen world with a whole bunch of stuff. In the midst of this, you can learn kingdom principles. In the midst of this, you've been given keys, and these keys can help you right now. Your marriage can change by Friday if you change, if you use keys. So much in our world can change. These keys, he says, are keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that you can change heaven. None of your prayers are going to change heaven. Heaven's already decided. Everyone makes their decision on the planet. He's simply saying the resources of heaven, the ability of heaven, the authority, that all of these, and it's such a, I'm giving you a quick little taste of a great big teaching, but we've got to understand that we've been given keys. We can decide what we believe. We can decide what we do, our actions in the midst of every situation. We can act out with wisdom according to God's word, or we can act out all of our hurt, anger, pain, unforgiveness, confusion, etc. But if you don't manage your life, nobody else will. For a while. Then the courts will manage your life. Then, you know, whatever air you slide down into, that will manage your life. So you've got to make a decision. When Jesus died on the planet and he arose again, he said this. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That had never been said before. Because the earth was given to the sons of man, Psalm says. And the authority upon this planet has been given to the human race, which is why we can make decisions that destroy whole countries. That a culture, a certain belief in a nation religiously can cause an entire nation to go wrong. Which is why the Church of Jesus Christ is so precious, so beautiful, so important. That we go out and we tell people they're loved. That Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. He wants the best for you. He died for you. And then you begin to understand that on this planet, you've been given so much free will that a lot of what your future will contain, a lot of it will be determined by the beliefs, the actions, and the decisions that you make in life. So I just want to challenge you today with this. Manage yourself. And as you begin to recognize that, ask yourself questions like, you know, what are my skill sets? Where are my strengths? Where am I not strong? If you're struggling with what do I do with my life? Ask yourself questions and begin to know yourself and just the skills and the giftings that you have. Like, how do I learn? Am I a reader or a listener? Rarely are people both. They usually listen and learn. Or they read and learn. You know, what are my values so that I can recognize? I don't mean, as far as evil or good. Just what do you value? Some people value certain things and others don't. And then, you know, where do I belong? Where can I be a blessing on this planet? You know, what are the what things inside of me can come out and help me with my career or where I want to volunteer? Where should I contribute? Where do I belong? Take responsibility for relationships, for your communication. So many people think because they've talked, they've communicated. But the question I would ask you is, how do you make people feel when you talk to them? They're not going to remember your words, but they'll always remember how you make them feel. I just want to challenge you in today, manage your life. Manage it. God did not set you on a world and go, ha, ah, you're out of control. You'll have no control. Ah, you're like a leaf in the wind. Ah, you know, whatever's going to be is going to be. Just get on the raft and head down the river. Whatever rock you hit, whatever waterfalls you go over, I guess just, you know, suck it up, buddy, because this is the way. No. None of that teaching is in the Bible. Those are all man-made teachings as they go through hurts, heartaches, and failures. We begin to change what we believe. But sadly, what we believe can make what's going wrong go worse. Or we can begin to believe the truth of God's word and begin to change the way you think, change the way you believe, change the way you face situations, change how you handle disappointments, discouragements, and losses. Because every decision that you make is influencing your life. Every decision that you make is a decision that brings life, or it's a decision that brings death. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I mean as a continuum. There are things that just make life better and better and better. And there are things that just make life worse and worse. And it's a continuum. It just keeps on going worse and worse. And people tend to start believing things are worse. They believe things like, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. Well, I guess this is my lot in life. And much of the beliefs of the human race are anti-Bible. They're not biblically correct. And sadly, much of the beliefs of Christianity as a religion aren't Bible either. They're just beliefs of people who hurt. Beliefs of people who've had a lot of heartache and storms and failures and betrayals and losses. And they subtly begin to change how they look at life. And they get sour and they get unhappy and they begin to judge. And if you're not careful, the rest of your life will continue on that continuum called death, where everything just gets worse. People avoid you, including your own kids. But if you'll begin to move towards truth, and who is truth? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you're looking for truth, you have to start with what Jesus did on the cross. If you're looking for life, resurrection life, all the power of heaven comes because of Jesus. And if you've lost your way, Jesus said, I'm the way. Start with Jesus. Dive into His Word. Keep coming out to church with a decision as to what am I going to believe. The decision is, I'm going to continue to make, or I'm going to start making choices that choose life. God Himself has said to us, there'll always be two choices before you, life and death. And in case you don't know which one to choose, He says, choose life. Every thought, every word, every action, what you focus on, the habits you build, focus on life. And I'm telling you, you'll be in the minority. When you study psychology and you look at people who can manage themselves, it is less than 2 out of 100 people who will even manage themselves in a workplace, manage themselves in their finances, manage themselves in their relationships, manage themselves in a way that pours themselves with wisdom into homes and kids. And so if you'll just manage yourself and recognize it is a Bible principle, Holy Spirit, who is our helper, will help you. Make 2020 the most amazing year. Don't go, well, I hope it's good to me. You know, life's not going to be good to you. That's negative. No, you don't understand. It is Jesus that is good to us. It is Jesus that died for us. It is Him that brought all of His promises to bear. It is He that brings joy and peace. It is Him. And so when you adhere to Jesus and you live on a fallen world so full of stuff that happens, you get to live in a joy, a peace, with a protection. Look at all the promises of God and begin the continuum of life. And if there's areas that are affecting you, that are causing death to finances and marriages and relationships, physical body, you know, just say, God, guide me, and begin to go for truth in the Word of God, and you'll be amazed at how things begin to change. Father, I pray today that You would touch each person here. That, Father, You would see, they would see how much You've invested in them, how much You trust them, believe in them, and You've given us so much power over our own lives. Help us to see that. For those who have given up today, Lord, there are those sitting here today that have been hurt, betrayed, and maybe even had things happen to them as young, as little ones that they couldn't control. I pray that You'd help them to let that go, and to move on so that the rest of their life, Father, becomes beautiful. That, Father, You have spoken blessings. Jesus died that we might have life and more abundantly. Help us to begin to manage these things, these keys within our life. I pray in Your wonderful name. Amen.